championship on the line right here. He's going for the corner. He's got it.
Hello and welcome to 4th and 5, your Longhorn Nation podcast. I'm your host, Will Bazer, and I'm joined alongside by Darius Terrell, as always. You guys listen to the Hornscast channel. It's the Hornscast channel on any podcasting platform out there. Today, we're going to be going over the start of football season. It's here, y'all. So, we're going to go over the depth chart that was just released and who we'll be seeing on the field against UTEP, what we'll be seeing on the field against UTEP against the Miners, and then answer some of y'all's questions as Texas heads into the 2020 season. Darius, how you doing, man? How confident are you, first off, that we'll finish this 2020 season?
How's going on? I'm doing well. Family's doing well. You know, we're still hanging in there during these COVID times. But I'm very confident that the season will get finished. At the college level, I'm confident about it. At the professional level as well, I'm fairly confident to get finished at the high school level, so we'll see.
I think the only thing is that we're probably not going to play all 10 games. I think at some point there's going to be some sort of outbreak or something where one of the teams that Texas plays or Texas doesn't have the numbers to fill a game or something like that. So
yeah, I'll take that back. Especially if you know, get towards the end of the season, you know, if somebody knows they have no chance, they're like 3-5 at this point, you know, they're going to play an undefeated team late. I definitely could see, you know, even if they don't have a breakout, you know, just a couple, you know what, let's just go and shut it down, take it home for the rest of the year. So, you know what, I actually could see plenty of scenarios where teams decide to go ahead and just skip the game that week or shut it down later in the year. I can't see that. So I'll take that back, Will.
Pack it up and ship it out. Wait for
I
next
can see
year.
It 100% for sure.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. Hopefully it's not Texas who's one of those teams. But having it be game week, let's not look at the downside. Let's look at what's going to be. And Texas just released their depth chart. And much to the shock of everybody, it looks like Sam Ehlinger won out by a hair.
What? It's not Hudson Card? It's not Hudson Card?
Dude, I mean, Hudson Card made a really close race towards the end there. And I know Casey Thompson biting at Sam Ellinger's heels, but Sam Ellinger won out by a hair, man.
Yeah, that got me. I'm expecting Trevor Lawrence. So I'm shocked that Sam Ellinger is a starter. So
yeah, when's Quinn Ewers going to
be pretty good to be starting over that guy?
When's Quinn Ewers going to be?
It's going to take it to another notch, right?
Yeah, when's Quinn Ewers starting? And running back position, again, another one that's not going to be any surprises there. Yeah, Keontae Ingram, that dude is looking for a big season. And hopefully for him, he wants to get into the NFL draft by 2021. We'll see if he can do that this year. Darius, actually, do you think he does that this year? I'm not so sure. I think he has potential to do it, but, I mean, you have to be a special player to leave your junior year.
Well, yeah, I'm actually kind of surprised to see Ingram listed as a starter heading into the season opener. I'd heard that he'd been pretty banged up throughout the summer with different stuff.
Yeah.
And throughout this fall camp. So I'm surprised to see him listed.
The stuff that he's been injured with is soft tissue stuff.
Right. So
stuff that is nagging.
Right. I'm interested to see how much he actually plays against UTEP out beyond the first series or so. But, you know, I'm a Keontae Ingram fan. I think as Texas fans, I'm trying to think who was the last, you know, Deontay Foreman was drafted in the, what, third round, fourth round, something like that. Who was the last great Texas running back? I don't think you would call Malcolm Brown great, Jonathan Gray, Fozzie Whitaker. Who was the last great back
Texas Foreman
had,
was
Will?
Great, dude. He was a pretty great running back. You know, he's not an all-time guy, but he's around the same level as a guy like Cedric Benson.
Whoa, Deontay, you think Deontay Foreman was as good as Cedric
Deontay
Benson?
Deontay Foreman was a Doak Walker winner.
No, that's fine, but I mean, Deontay Foreman got a crap ton of carries, too.
True, but he was the offense. He was the team.
Was he the offense due to incompetence from the offensive staff, or was he really, you know what I'm saying?
Both. I would say both.
I think with Keontae Ingram, Texas fans take him for granted a little bit and don't realize how good he actually is. I mean, he was forced into the starting role. Not even forced to. He was good enough to start as a true freshman. You know, he's been a guy that's been out here every year. And, of course, yeah, he's been a little bit banged up every year. But I've read stuff. I've watched Keontae play. I've seen other folks talking about it. He's squarely on the radar of NFL teams. And, you know, running backs nowadays, if you're good, first off, you don't want to go anywhere where you're getting all the carries every time, week in and week out. And you're not sticking around for 4 years. If you're good enough to go, you're going to get your clock started early. So I could absolutely see a scenario. If Keontae has a good year, regardless of the stats, it's about how he looks, how he feels, because he's going to be sharing carries anyway. I definitely could see this being his last year, even though I would assume most Texas fans cannot.
And as a running back, you want to take really as few carries as possible. And that's lucky for Keontae Aaron because the two guys below him are studs. Rashawn Johnson apparently has just been killing it in practice. A lot of, you know, you thought he wouldn't progress at the level that he actually has reportedly. Throwing you under the bus, Darius, because no, Rashawn Johnson's my dude.
Everything sounds great. I'm a show me type of person, so I mean, I can't wait to see it. I have a hard time seeing him holding off a guy like Bijan Robinson. I mean, you know what? Will, I take it back. The arrival of a guy like Bijan Robinson is probably what helped push Rashawn Johnson, like we've heard about him doing this spring and this summer.
Right.
So I'm excited to see him play.
I assume that all three of these guys are going to get some carries. Obviously, Keontae Ingram's get the majority of them. I think Rashawn Johnson gets a good share as well, and then Bijan Robinson shows some flashes. I don't know how much we see Bijan Robinson. You know, we'll see him some, but I think it'll be more like what we saw with Jake Smith last year, where you saw him here and there, large swaths throughout the season, but inconsistently. That's what you're going to see with Bijan. So I'm excited to see him, but I'm not expecting to see him like every single game.
Yeah. Are we going to see Gabriel Watson? He's supposedly going to be available Saturday, him and Brendan Schooler. So I'm interested to see if we see either one of them. I want to see if Brendan Schooler shows up on special teams on Saturday.
I'll be interested to see. Yeah, I think Schooler is a better player than what we were expecting out of him. I've heard some good things. I've heard he's been running around with the first and second team and 7-on-7. And he's been really showing out and surprising guys. I don't expect him to start or, you know, play much against UTEP, or maybe actually towards the end of it, we'll start to see him just get some reps, hopefully. But I think you'll see him mostly on special teams. I think that dude and Gabriel Watson will see the majority of their time on the field, especially early on in the season, at special teams. So I think next position we are looking at here is the wide receiver position, and Jake Smith's out for the UTEP game, so you won't see him there. He's suffered an injury during practice this week. So Jordan Whittington is your starting.
Hey, before we get folks panicking, though, he is apparently it's an injury to where, you know, if they were playing LSU this week, he would be available. It's just a more precautionary deal.
Sorry, yeah, I didn't mean to freak people out there. It's, you know, you're not playing the guys who you don't need to play against UTEP right now. Mm-hmm. We'll get into why, but he's not playing. So you'll see a lot of Jordan Whittington. And Jordan Whittington, former five-star, an athlete, running back, wide receiver, running back, wide receiver, now back at wide receiver at that slot position. They've been blowing him up on social media and really hyping him up. You know, he's a bit of a social media guy as well. He's all over it. So I'm excited to see what Jordan Whittington does at a position that honestly is a better natural fit for him.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I hope to see a lot of Jordan Whittington. You know, we haven't seen much. You know, he's a guy that battles injuries a lot, which really got me thinking, if Jake Smith is down and say, you know, Jordan Whittington at any point is not available, who becomes that next guy in the slot? The first one that popped into my mind was Josh Moore. You got to remember freshman Dejon Harrison opted out. He was an inside guy. Kevontae Dixon is out. What are the options in the slot? Could Brendan Schooler possibly work in the slot? I mean, he spent the majority of his time at Oregon playing outside. I think there's a question mark there. If Jake Smith is not available, Texas has seen, well, we got three wide receiver injuries. You got Kevontae Dixon, Troy Omerie, Jake Smith. And then you got
Marcus Washington is also out.
Marcus Washington's out too.
Undisclosed injury.
Great. So four guys are out. And then, you know, you don't know what you're getting with Brendan Eagles. So, I mean, folks were saying, even a week and a half ago, you know, I don't see why they're bringing Schooler in as far as to have an impact on offense. But I mean, it looked like it's a game of numbers right now. Texas is hurting at wide receiver right now just from guys that are available.
Right. Yeah. And speaking of bringing guys in, and it actually turned out to be really good, is Tariq Black and Brendan Eagles on that X wide receiver battle. Brendan Eagles not starting, I don't think there's anything to really worry about there. I think this is more of a motivational tool for Brendan Eagles and sort of a thing to focus him.
I don't know Brendan Eagles personally. I really can't say I've heard you know, much about his personality. But this is like the second offseason I feel like I've heard that with Brennan Eagles. And my thing is, if you're having to motivate somebody to play football, when you get them out there finally, it's probably going to be a short-lived stint anyway. So I don't buy into the whole idea of trying to motivate somebody to play football, especially at this level. You know what I'm saying? So
I don't know if it's so much motivate as more as a focus.
Even with that, that's what I'm saying. This is year three for Brennan Eagles. He knew Colin Johnson's graduating. Devin Duvernay is graduating. This is time for him to step up and shine and in his mind, live up to his ranking and be an NFL draft pick. You know, it's time. This was your year to be the guy at wide receiver, and he possibly still could be. From my point of view, to still be hearing, to be seeing stuff like that and seeing Tyreek Black listed as a starter, I don't know if you remember, but I mean, we've had this conversation before, Will. I've never been as high on Brennan Eagles as a lot of people have been, even coming out of high school. I saw a guy that was tall. He's 6'3", 6'4". He's great running in a straight line. But even last year, if you watch his touchdowns against LSU, the defensive back mistimed the ball. He misjudged the ball. It happened a couple times last season where he was just wide open on blown coverages. I'm still yet to be super impressed with Brennan Eagles. So I'm excited to see Tyreek Black. You haven't seen a lot of him at Michigan. He was a guy he's had two broken feet. So again, how much can you really rely on him at wide receiver? You know, with foot injuries, as important as their feet are. Jake Smith is down. Jordan Whittington is often injured. I think we could see a big workload for a guy like Alvante Woodard on Saturday. And what's up with Kennedy Lewis? I haven't heard anything about Kennedy Lewis. Is he back with the team? Is he playing? I know he was reinstated. What's going on with Kennedy Lewis?
He's back on the team, but I think he might be in the doghouse right now for reasons I honestly don't know.
Doghouse. Well, let's do the math real quick, Will. So you got Tyreek Black, Brennan Eagles. That's two guys. Whittington, 3. Josh Moore, 4. Alvante Woodard, 5. And then who else are receivers? Brendan Schooler, 6. It's not a lot of bodies there. You know what I'm saying? So somebody's got to get some reps and get some passes thrown away that haven't been getting them. I'm picking Woodard to be the guy.
I think when you get into Texas Tech, a lot of these guys are going to get back. I think Marcus Washington's going to get back. I think you're going to get Jake Smith back. I think you're going to get a few of those guys back on the team. Yeah, Troy Omeri, man, was killing it. Losing him really hurts. But I think Tyreek Black, this is the time for him to shine, and I'm going to be interested in seeing how he does on the field coming back from Michigan, you know, all those injuries, right, as you were talking about. Let's see if he can stave off Brennan Eagles.
Yeah, he's got a golden opportunity.
Right.
The coaches seem to want to give it to him. I'm having a hard time just, man, playing receiver, Will. I don't think there's another position on the field where you're outside of maybe corner. You're doing all of that hard sticking and cutting on your feet. Man, he's broken his feet twice. I don't know how heavy of a workload you can expect him to be able to carry before, you know, something eventually happens. You know, am I making sense? I'm not trying to say he's injury prone.
Yeah,
two broken. It's two foot injuries.
And the same thing goes for Jordan Whittington, right?
Yeah, him in soft tissue.
With lower body injuries.
He's got no fat on his body. I'm assuming he hasn't, you know, throughout his life, he probably hasn't really been stretching, right? Or had, you know, yoga, something that's probably been introduced to him since he's been in college. But he's always battling the soft tissue. You know, Texas really doesn't have a lot of bodies there right now.
And, you know, speaking of not having a lot of bodies, this might actually work in favor of Josh Moore because he was battling with Marcus Washington for that Z wide receiver spot. With Marcus Washington being out for this game, this is a golden opportunity for Josh Moore to take that Z position and show what he had his freshman year and he lost last year.
I'm a Josh Moore fan. I'm a believer in his skill set. I think he is even more so than Jake Smith. Josh Moore is like the only guy on the roster, really, that can play both outside and inside. His freshman year, I saw some stuff from him that I thought was more impressive than anything I saw from Brennan Eagles. So, yeah, talking about the opportunity for Tyreek Black, how about Josh Moore being suspended all last season? And then game one, guess what? He's number one on the depth chart, and he's got guys that are out. It's an opportunity for him to seize this thing and maybe never give it back. I'm a Josh Moore fan.
Yeah. So going down to the tight end position, you have a bit of a logjam there with Cade Brewer, Jared Wiley, and Malcolm Epps. Cade Brewer and Jared Wiley, probably the two guys who are going to be in and out mostly, unless you're trying to go 5-wide and you want a big guy out there with Malcolm Epps. Even then, I don't know if you probably want to keep Cade Brewer or Jared Wiley out there because those two guys are leaders on this team. Cade Brewer being a senior, having started 3 years, Jared Wiley is a guy who is just a football player. He is a football player. Those two guys seem to be getting a lot of praise, not in terms of the blocking. I feel the majority of the knocks on this these two guys have been the inability for blocking, and that might hurt in a run heavy offense, but I feel like those two guys are holding down that tight end position pretty well in an offense under Tom Herman that leans on the tight end pretty hard.
Well, yeah, I mean, we've seen this is what heading into year four with Tom Herman. He doesn't seem to believe in the pure four wide, 10 personnel set or the empty set. There's going to be a tight end on the field 90% of the time, 95% of the time. I didn't realize, sitting there looking at this depth chart, Cade Brewer's only started 12 games in his career. I feel like he's been out there starting for 3 years. He's actually
lots of injuries.
He hadn't played a lot. Yeah, he really hadn't played that much. I know Cade Brewer's a known commodity. He's an upperclassman. He's one of the leaders. But I really look for Jared Wiley to possibly, as the year goes on, end up being the guy there. And he's one of the guys that I am. He's another guy that I'm going to be keeping an eye on this season, just watching his progress. Because he really caught my eye during the spring game last year. I'm like, duh, that dude is huge. He's, you know, usually you see folks listed, you know, he's listed at 6'6", 240 coming out. But then you get out there and see him in person, I'm like, he might be bigger than that. And he was out there running with the ones back with last spring. So I've heard great things about Wiley. I think he could be a guy.
He's also your backup kicker.
Yeah.
He's also a punter.
Yeah, he can
play
do
a bit of quarterback.
Mm-hmm. He threw some nice balls.
And going way ahead into this episode in our mailbag, one of the questions asked by Colossus on Reddit, who is a second stringer to the two deep, both sides of the ball, that you each think will have a big impact and possibly grab the job outright later in the season? Mm-hmm. My answer is Jared Wiley. I think that guy, by the end of the season, potentially takes the job away from Cade Brewer, the senior.
I can see it. I don't have a hard time saying that at all. And then don't forget, we've never seen him in game action yet. Braden Leibrock was actually, I mean, he's the highest rated tight end on the roster as far as being a recruit. So I would like to see him at some point on Saturday as well.
Right. Going to the offensive line, this is a really, really important group, especially since you have left tackle Sam Cosmi, who might be the best offensive lineman in the Big 12, backed up by Andres Karich. And Andres Karich has been one of those guys who has been lauded during his time on campus. The big question for this offensive line is the right side, because Sam Cosmi, Junior Angulau, and Derek Kerstetter are your left side. That's a pretty strong left side right there. 66 starts between those three guys. The right side, you have 5 starts. Denzel Okafor is the only guy who started on that right side. He's your right guard. You have Tope Amade. Christian Jones is starting for your right tackle, and Tyler Johnson's backing him up. Christian Jones is another guy who we've heard a lot about. He's apparently very raw, very much like Denzel Okafor, where there's things he needs to work on, but if he got it all together, he'd be a really good player. But he just isn't there yet in his sophomore year at Texas. Darius, what do you think this right side of this line looks like by the end of the year? And how much confidence do you have in it?
I think Denzel Okafor is at his natural position, which is guard. So I'm happy about that. I'm excited to see that. Christian True. Jones is a heck of an athlete. He's another guy that caught my eye last year at the spring game. He's more athletic than Reese Moore, who's playing on the left side. Christian Jones is a guy that I think he's going to be somebody that obviously is going to get better as the year goes. But at the same time, I think when Isaiah Hookfan does return, I think Christian Jones is the guy. He's the guy most likely that's on the shakiest ground, in my opinion. And Tyler Johnson, who is listed as his backup at right tackle, I think Tyler Johnson would actually be the first sub at guard for Denzel Okafor as well, if something were to happen over Tope Amade, even though they didn't list it that way.
Right.
So Texas is really relying, man. They're relying on 3 freshmen. I straight out of high school and red shirt. But the right side of the line, yeah, definitely a huge question mark. I'm rooting for my brothers. I'm going to call that the black side of the line. I'm rooting for them this year and their improvement, man. But I think Okafor is going to do well at that guard spot. Christian Jones, again, great athlete. I think he's a candidate, in my opinion, to slide over to left tackle next year. And I don't even want to think about the offensive line situation next year. It makes my stomach hurt. But yeah, I'm excited to see those guys. But no doubt about it, it's a question mark. I'm sure the Texas staff's going to say all the right things publicly, of course, but I'm sure they got some nerves about it too. Herb Hand, he's not sure how it's going to go. I'm sure he knows how it'll go Saturday, but moving forward.
Yeah, I think Saturday I'll be interested to see if they keep them together and try to gel it together, or if they're going to try to juggle it around and see what's your best matchups there. Who fits best with who?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. That's what you do. Yeah, you look for your best 5, but again, they've been doing that all fall too. But you know, we'll see everybody. We'll get a good look at everybody on Saturday. So hopefully, if not, something went horribly, horribly wrong.
Hopping on over to the other side of the ball, the defensive side of the ball. Let's go to the defensive line here and work our way up. I mean, the defensive line probably is your strongest position group on the entire team. It is just loaded from top to bottom, even with Marquez Bimage opting out of the season. Your defensive ends right now are Mora Ojemo and Jacoby Jones, and then your backup there is Vernon Broughton. Your defensive tackle is Taquan Graham, backed up by Alfred Collins. Your nose tackle is Keandre Coburn, Tavondre Sweat, and then you're backed up by Sawyer Goyam-Welch, who I have heard is actually doing pretty well for a guy who was not very highly rated or highly praised coming out of high school.
East Texas.
And then, of course, your jack position. You have Joseph Osai, and then the surprises, Reese Leitao and Jet Bush. Byron Vaughn's nowhere to be seen. So, Darius, of those four positions I just listed, where do you see the biggest question marks or the biggest shakeup there?
I would say it's time. It's pretty much time now in year four for Taquan Graham to, theoretically speaking, poop or get off the pot. It's year four. He's been moved inside this year to D tackle. He's been a DN pretty much his entire career, playing in that three man front. If Taquan Graham has another slow start this year, I think he's got guys behind him now. Tavondre Sweat, Alfred Collins, he's going to get passed up. I would say Taquan Graham is probably the guy on shakiest ground. But at the same time, if this position, if this new defense, if this playing this three technique is the most natural position for him, which I think it is, we could also see the opposite thing happen. We could see Taquan Graham take off. But he's the guy I have the biggest question mark about when looking at this line just from on paper. I like Mora Ojemo. He's not a flashy guy, but I understand what his job is and what he does. I'm interested to see him play defensive end at 276 pounds, too.
Yeah, I'm going to be interested in watching that defensive end position in general, because Mora Ojemo and Jacoby Jones are, I don't want to say opposites, but when you think about your defensive line, you're thinking about pass rush and run stuff. Mora Ojemo is your run stuffer. Jacoby Jones is your pass stuffer. What do you want more? Do you want to control the game on the ground, or do you want sacks? That's going to be...
Has Jacoby Jones really shown that he's a big sack guy?
No, I mean, but really neither of them. This is more of when you're looking at those guys, what are you expecting out of them? We haven't seen it, but what are you expecting out of them? Mora Ojemo is supposedly supposed to be your run-stopping guy, and Jacoby Jones, according to practice reports, is your pass rushing guy.
Well, on that same topic then, we're talking about a pass rusher. Just looking at this defensive front, outside of the obvious with Joseph Osai, who is the pass rusher? Just looking at these names. You know, that's not...
I couldn't tell you. I think you would have to put Jacoby Jones out there a lot. I think he might be like your third down type of guy who is out there in a specific pass rushing package.
Hey, well, he's a senior. He was a JUCO guy. You know, usually JUCO guys come in and play immediately. Jacoby Jones hasn't started the game. He's a senior now. So, you know, he's a guy, he's out of time. Oh, well, he would have another year next year, actually, technically, wouldn't he? But I'm interested to see that, Will. I don't know about that. I don't know about that with Jacoby Jones as your main pass rusher.
With him being a St. Louis guy, I hope he does well.
No, I feel you. Rooting for the hometown. But I'm also talking about the pass rush. Jet Bush, I know that's your guy. You showed me his highlight tape from a few years ago. I thought his highlight tape looked amazing. I don't know how he didn't have offers from, you know, places like...
His best offers were Air Force, Army, and New Mexico State.
I'm shocked, you know, Rice, you know,
and
stuff
I don't think
like
the
that.
Army and Air Force ones were really committable. I think it was just like New Mexico State was it.
That's shocking to me. But you see what's going on.
I mean, he also had Princeton, Harvard, Columbia, and Dartmouth.
And he said he wanted to play football, right? Man, yeah. He's proving it. Hey, he got him a scholarship. I think that 52, Jet Bush, is another guy I'm going to be watching closely on Saturday to see if he could be somebody that could possibly bend that edge for Texas and get to the quarterback in obvious situations.
I'm going to be watching Keandre Coburn closely as well, because this is a guy who is receiving a lot of praise. He's a guy who was very highly rated coming out of high school. He did pretty well last year, clogging up and filling in for Puna Ford. You know, you thought it was going to be Chris Nelson. No, it was Keandre Coburn. So I'm going to be interested in watching, can he take the next step up and turn himself into a defensive lineman of the year type player this year or next year? Because if it, I guess Joseph Osai is defensive line, so he might be taking that this year over Keiondre Coburn. But I think Keiondre Coburn, I mean, Texas is going defensive lineman of the year, defensive lineman of the year, defensive lineman of the year. I think the next ones are either Joseph Osai or Keiondre Coburn. And that's how much faith I have in Keiondre Coburn. And I'm looking to see if he can take that next step up.
I can't wait until Texas rolls out the defensive line in front of Coburn, Sweat, and then Alfred Collins at the same time. I just can't wait. I can't wait to see that.
And Vernon Broughton.
Broughton as well. Throw that in there too. I can't wait.
That's going to be insane. I mean, this year is really good, and the future looks almost better. I can't tell really right now because Joseph Osai is a talent.
Yeah.
That dude has potential to be a first round draft pick.
Mark it, write it in pen, write it in ink.
All right. Yeah. Let's go to the next level here in your linebacker position. This is the shakiest position I think Texas has on their roster right now, is that linebacker. It's the biggest question mark. Right now, starting for the Longhorns is Juwan Mitchell and DeMarvion Overshown. Juwan Mitchell had a turbulent offseason, in a turbulent season last year. DeMarvion Overshown, this is his first time starting at linebacker. What are you expecting out of these two guys? I think we're going to see a lot of mistakes against UTEP. But I think at the same time, we're going to see some flashes of greatness, especially from a guy like DeMarvion Overshown.
Well, yeah, it's no secret. Y'all know I'm a Juwan Mitchell fan. Regardless of anything off the field that you don't agree with or whatever, I think he's a football player. I think he's the Mike. I don't think there's any question about that. And you see he's still starting even after he's been in and out of the transfer portal, what, three times now? His backup, the guy listed as his backup, Court, is it Jaquez? I want to make sure I'm saying it right.
Court Jacks.
You said Jax?
Jocks. I don't know. Okay, Jackson, well, hey. And or Ayodele Adeyemi.
I thought he was excellent against Utah in the Alamo Bowl. So I'm comfortable with that guy being out there as well as Deli Adeyemi. I think they're both a step below Mitchell. But as far as that Mike jobs go, I think all three of those guys could get the job done. I'm concerned with the Will spot.
Low ceiling, high floor type of position right there for Mike.
I don't agree with that. Again, I like Juwan Mitchell. I think he's a possible NFL player. I really do. Not necessarily right now, but in the future. I wouldn't be surprised at all. But I'm worried about the Will spot with a guy like Overshown to see him still. He's still listed at 217 pounds. I'm not really concerned with him taking on blocks. You know he'll run. He'll take on blockers and go field. I'm worried about Overshown pulling the who was the guy that was really bad at it? Who was that with the Charlie Strong years? Was it Malik Jefferson? Hitting the wrong gap or overrunning the play?
Wheeler.
Overrunning the play?
Wheeler.
Who was it?
Was it Wheeler?
I think it was Malik Jefferson, man. But it was somebody. It might have been Wheeler, too. I don't know if he was guessing or what, but
it was Wheeler. Wheeler was really bad about picking
gaps.
He
would fill the wrong gap, and it would just be a straight run through for the other team. That's what I'm worried about with Overshown, just filling the wrong gap. I don't worry about him being aggressive. He's going to be aggressive, but I'm worried about him doing the wrong thing, and then bam, you get gashed for 50 yards, 60-yarder against teams that can really hurt you. I'm concerned about growing pains for Overshown, but at the same time, that's part of it. You get that talent out on the field. I think David Benda struggled a little bit last year, but he was a true freshman. You know, I've heard great things about Jalen Ford, but the Will linebacker spot, yeah, I've got questions about it. That's why I didn't understand why Texas, they took Brendan Schooler, but then didn't have any interest in his brother, Colin, who ended up at Texas Tech. I don't understand that, but it's a situation where you trust the coaches, right?
I guess so. We'll see with that Will linebacker position, what happens there, and if they end up having to put B.J. Foster there. So, next level here. We have cornerbacks and your safeties. Oh, actually, let's go to spur position. Your spur position, it's a pretty simple choice right there. It's Chris Adamora, Anthony Cook, and Xavien Alford. That's your three. Chris Adamora is your starter, and by all accounts, and what you saw in the Utah game and last year, that dude, unheralded out of California, has really taken a hold of that spur position and just his position on the defense and, you know, iron grip, not letting go.
Yeah, no, that's a baller, man. Not only he's beating out the five-star Anthony Cook, he got number one. You know, he got the single-digit number. I mean, he's clearly – he don't say a whole lot, but he's clearly a guy that just shows up and gets the job done. He's got the respect of all his teammates, got the respect of all his coaches. It's going to be Chris Adamora's first career start. But from what I've seen, just based on watching him last year in certain situations and hearing what you've heard about him this offseason, I'm confident in Chris Adamore. He's up 215 pounds. I think he's another guy with a lot of upside. Is Josh Thompson playing this weekend?
Yeah, Josh Thompson's playing this weekend. So your two starting corners are DeSean Jameson and Josh Thompson, with Jalen Green being the one who comes off the bench.
So probably Jalen Green will fill in for both of them, probably, either side.
Probably both of them, whoever needs it or whoever they feel like Jalen Green is a better fit against. I mean, they're not going to take UTEP for granted, right? They're going to be like, all right, Jalen Green, you matched up best against this guy. Let's put you out against them. We'll see between these three guys. This might be like a tryout by fire, especially between Jalen Green and DeSean Jameson, because I feel like Josh Thompson, you know, against what, you know, you would think, is probably the one who's leading that spot.
How
right
the
now.
Hell can Josh Thompson, who didn't play three games all last year at
them,
safety?
All three of them are very unproven. In fact, I don't know if there is a guy on this defensive backfield who has really been proven beyond Chris Brown.
DeSean Jameson is going to be an all-conference player this year.
He's been good.
He's had flashes of greatness. He's by far, out of all the cornerbacks, DeSean Jameson is the only one that has shown any type of ability to make a play on the football. DeSean Jameson is going to be on the field. Josh Thompson hadn't proven anything. Jalen Green hadn't proven anything. I've been wondering about that all offseason. We've been getting conflicting info on that. Was DeSean Jameson, Jalen Green? I don't see any way in hell DeSean Jameson is not locked in one of them cornerback spots.
We'll see. We'll see this Saturday. We'll see in
a few days. Matter of fact, what's the guy that just left Mississippi State? What's his name? The old corner. Jason Washington got fired for taking DeSean Jameson off the field. I promise you that's what that was about.
Yeah, that cornerback position, it's just been a big question mark with these three guys, really.
Hey, sticking on corner real quick before you move on, we're going to see two freshmen out there too, right?
Oh, yeah. Keaton Crawford and Jade Barron. And also, I guess, Kenyatta Watson as a sophomore redshirt freshman. All three of those guys, all three of those quote-unquote freshmen are guys who have a lot of praise coming out of this offseason. And we'll definitely see down the line. I'll be interested to see if we see them in this game. You know, again, Texas, we're assuming Texas will have to be near the spread for them to see the field. But again, this staff is probably going to be more liberal with their player usage, with the fact that this year doesn't count towards eligibility. If a guy like Jade Barron or Keaton Crawford or Kenyatta Watson wins out, they're going to win out, and it doesn't matter if they want to keep the red shirt or not.
Yeah, no, there are no red shirts this year. It's pretty much a free year. So anybody that can help anywhere, they're going to play. So we're going to see them young guys out there. Keep an eye out for 19 and number 23 at some point. You definitely see them on special teams. They're both built. They look exactly the same in uniform, but
yeah,
y'all will like them. Y'all going to like them moving forward.
And then your safeties. And again, the only guy I think who's really really proven in this defensive backfield, and even is not Caden Stearns, but Chris Brown.
Okay. Thought you were going to say Caden Stearns.
Caden Stearns has been, you know, he hasn't really proven himself. He hasn't lived up to the hype.
Nothing. Nathaniel. He's done nothing. But go ahead.
This is the year I think he could come out. This could be his coming out year, or it could be a year where, I mean, you know, you've seen his ceiling. And that would be really tough to see that happen to Caden Stearns, but I expect him to have a coming out year. If he stays healthy, he has to stay healthy. He really does. And that's been really the biggest pain point, pun intended, for Caden Stearns is his injuries. And that's really what's been holding him back. And if for a guy who is more of a cerebral player and not so much the best athlete on the field, even though he's a great athlete, you need to still have, you know, your size and your strength to be able to make some of the plays.
I like Chris Brown. I like Chris Brown a lot. I think he's a hell of a football player. I think V.J. Foster's a heck of a football player, despite, you know, playing injured last year. I know we're going to see a healthy dose of both of them. Caden Stearns, I think he's a solid player. I just think he's been given a pass for the last year and a half just because he got an interception his first two games. I don't know. I think there on every team, there's certain guys that get passes for stuff, and, you know, it got a reputation, and Caden Stearns is a reputation guy on his team. There are people saying, I've been reading places, he's candidate to declare early and all that stuff. I don't see it. And I've seen Caden Stearns play since he was back at Cibolo still. I don't see it. Maybe I'm a hater, man. I don't know. I just don't see it. We'll see. I've got questions at free safety. I'm not the biggest Montrell Estelle fan either. I see Tyler Owens is listed behind both B.J. Foster and Chris Brown, so it moves him to more the strong safety, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's an opportunity after this season, if Stearns does leave, there's an opportunity possibly for that job's going to be up for grabs. If anything happens to Caden Stearns, I think Texas is a little bit shaky at free safety, and they're not great at free safety in the first place, or safety in general.
Yeah.
But the way Chris Brown plays, the way B.J. Foster plays, you worry about him getting banged up. And is Tyler Owens ready this year? I saw he got put out there last year against TCU. He was lost in coverage. Again, Montrell Estell, to this point, how would you describe Montrell Estell at this point? I mean, I don't want to call him, just a guy, but
he's a little bland compared to the other options.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to do anything great, but I'm not high on Caden Stearns. I'm not high on the free safety position at Texas right now. I think B.J. Foster should be on the field in some capacity, and I'm sure he's still going to play a lot, even though he's not listed as a starter. Yeah, I want him up
on the line. That's where I want B.J. Foster.
He's got to want to do it too, though, So,
yeah.
But we'll see. I'm sure he'll be out there. We'll finally get our wish.
I want to see freshman B.J. Foster against Oklahoma. That's what I want to see single game.
We need him back.
And you know what we forgot on the offensive line?
What?
Isaiah Hookfin's out.
Right.
So I think you're going to see Isaiah Hookfin over on that right side.
Yeah,
for sure.
We didn't forget. We mentioned it.
Did we?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I think Isaiah Hookfin is probably a starter in some capacity on the right side of that line. It just depends where they want to put him there.
Great athlete.
And I think it's a right tackle at the end of the day.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
That's the depth chart there. That took up a lot of time. So let's go ahead and get UTEP through real, real fast because, honestly, y'all, there isn't much to talk about with UTEP. It is a team that had to come and score 21 unanswered points to beat Stephen F. Austin at home. Dana Dimmel, I like the dude. I thought he was a good fit for a team like UTEP. He's a guy who was instrumental in Kansas State's recruiting efforts, which is to keep in touch and understand the guys at the smaller schools and pick on that talent, the talent that other schools are overlooking just because they're in small towns. I thought UTEP would have thrived under that. UTEP is an in-state school. You could go around West Texas, you could go around South Texas and find the guys who are being overlooked. It doesn't seem to be the case. And coming off a 1-11 season, it doesn't look like much is changing here. Darius, you got to take a look at their last game against Stephen F. Austin closer than I did. What are you seeing in UTEP?
So let's start with the offense. So their offensive coordinator, Mike Canales, was actually my offensive coordinator when I was at North Texas.
Which is hilarious.
It is. It's interesting. Very interesting. I can promise you they're going to spend the majority of their time in 11 personnel. They're going to have a tight end or H-back or fullback type of guy out there. The majority of the time, watching the game against Sam Houston, they pretty much had the same three receivers out there. It was number 17. Number 26 was a little guy in the slot. And I'm forgetting his name right now. And then their main guy was number 6 at wide receiver. And his name was Jacob Cowing. And you'll see Jacob Cowing, number 6, get probably, if UTEP drops back to throw 10 times, he'll probably get 7 of those targets. Okay, number 6 is going to be the guy that you probably see Deshaun Jameson following around on Saturday. But their quarterback, Gavin Hardison, he's a first-year starter. They say he has a big arm and things like that, but I'd be lying if I said I was super impressed with anything that I saw from him last week. He is athletic, Will. He can move around a little bit, even though I wouldn't categorize him as a runner. You're not probably going to zone read with him. He can get out of trouble. But I think the Texas offensive line is probably the offensive line. Defensive line is going to – they're going to give him hell on Saturday. And then at running back –
I am so excited to watch the defensive line against this team. It's a stat padding game.
Yeah, UTEP's offensive line isn't great. I'll go ahead and say that as well. I thought they did a poor job, especially against SFA, of working up to the second level at all. If Mitchell and Overshone, I think they've got an opportunity. They're going to be – their jerseys are going to be clipped pretty clean as far as guys being on them at the second level on Saturday. They've got a chance to rack up as far as stat-wise to have a good game because Utah's offensive line did not do a good job of working up to the second level against SFA. And
this will be a good game for DeMarvian Overshone to have the game slowed down because he's going to be a level up. He's going to be closer, so it's going to be a little faster of a game. A game where he can slow down and get used to the new level that he's on and be able to read that offense and read offenses at this speed.
Yeah, I think he's going to be fine. I don't know about Overshone reading anything. He ain't reading nothing, but he's going to go hit it full speed. We do know that. But no, offensively, Will, seriously, man, UTEP, they're going to keep a tight end on the field most of the time. I can promise you they'll probably come out in the beginning and try to take some shots. If Texas builds any type of lead, I'm talking about 14-0, 21-0, 21-7 type lead, they're going, Utah's going to try to control Utah. UTEP is going to try to run that clock, man, and control the clock with the run game. I promise you're going to try to just get out of there with as few injuries
they're
as possible.
They're going to try to Army Texas?
Something, man, because I wouldn't touch that 42-point spread at all. I don't know, especially with you rolling in younger guys later in the game, you know, mistakes, turnovers. I wouldn't mess with that line. And knowing that offensive coordinator UTEP's got, he's terrified of turnovers. They came out at the second half against SFM, turned it over twice, and they went right back into the shell of trying to run every play. So it's going to be a stat game, like you said, for the defensive guys as far as tackles go.
I'm not worried about this game. I don't think Longhorns should be worried about this game. I don't think the coaches are going to have the same mentality. I think they should take this game seriously. It's still an FBS opponent. There's still pretty good players on the other side of the field.
Yeah, no, Tom Herman had to replace pretty much his whole staff. Both of these coordinators are in their first game at Texas. They're not. I can promise you they're taking it very, very, very seriously.
Right. So I think that's really all we can talk about for UTEP is this game should be a game you see second and third string players in. That is what you need in this game.
And to hit on their D real quick, I mean, they're going to line up in multiple fronts. You'll see a four-down front. You'll see a three-down front. They did this thing against SFA this past last week where every time SFA got inside of the 20, got in the red zones, UTEP went to a three-down front with six defensive backs. If they do that against Texas inside the red zone, it should be, I mean, Keyonte Ingram, Roshan Johnson, Bijan, Sam, hopefully not Sam.
Yeah, Sam Ellinger is going to be on a pitch count for runs for sure.
They should be hitting their head on the goalpost when UTEP does that. I'm trying to think defensively, inexperience on the back end, three guys that were injured last year, season-ending injuries, are back this year. At linebacker, I think the linebackers are decent. I thought that was the best-looking group they had. Apparently, they've got a linebacker, Tyrese Knight, that runs a 4-3-40, even though he's the one they take off the field when they go to that 6-DB look. The defensive line, I got to be honest, Will, both D-tackles are junior college transfers. They're both listed at 315, but I didn't think they did a good job anchoring against the run. They've got bursts, but again, this is a game where all of Texas's players – should be getting some real work and getting some real looks. And if you see guys struggling at all on that first unit for Texas, I think a red flag should absolutely be raised on Saturday going up against this UTEP group, which won one game last season, by the way.
Yeah, I don't think anything's going to change much this year. So let's go ahead and finish off the show with some mailbag. I think it was It's Jay Crow asked for the mailbag on our last show. So here it is, even though you didn't get a question in. we already went over Colossus's question, which is what second stringer do you think has the biggest impact and overtakes the starter by the end of the year? Let's get to the next one. And coming off this UTEP game, the great Latsby asked, what position groups will you have your eyes on the most this Saturday? And what would you need to see to feel somewhat confident about the rest of the season? And on the other hand, what could you see that would possibly make you worried? And I think you brought up a good point with DeMarvian Overshown. Is he a shoot-first, ask-questions-later guy? Because if so, teams like Iowa State and Oklahoma mm-hmm. are going to make Texas pay. Mm-hmm. And Oklahoma State are going to make Texas pay. They're going to watch DeMarvian Overshown, and they're going to key on him and say, all right, bud, which gap are you going to leave open? You know, it's going to be like a Toro type of thing. We'll show you the red flag over here, and then we're going to go this way.
I get it. Yep, that makes sense. I'm trying to think who would be the strongest. What's UTEP's strength? I'll say this. Well, I'm going to be paying attention. My main focus on Saturday, I'm going to be paying his most attention to the right side of the offensive line. I want to see how Okafor looks like. I want to see what Christian Jones looks like. And with every new season, start a new season, I'm always on the lookout for freshmen. I love seeing freshmen playing in their first action and seeing if the pups are going to bite it all.
Yeah, I think another thing I want to watch is that cornerback position. Last year, Texas had a lot of trouble with cornerbacks getting beat deep. I don't know if that's going to happen this game, but if it does, that does not bode well for the rest of the season at all. If these cornerbacks get beat deep, if this defensive backfield gets beat deep in this game, that is not good, especially when you think about teams like, again, Oklahoma State and Oklahoma.
Yeah, that shouldn't happen. I don't know how much work the Texas cornerbacks are going to get Saturday, but I don't know if it's the best game to judge him. That's why, and actually, that'll come up later.
That's why I'm saying if it happens, that's going to make me worried.
Yeah, that's going to make me worried.
If it happens at all, I don't know if it'll happen. UTEP is not the team to take deep shots all the time, but if it does happen, I'm worried.
All right. To answer to his question, I'm most looking forward to the right side of the offensive line, and I can't wait to see the chosen one, Hudson Carr, get in there. Maybe even Jaquindon Jackson gets a snap or two. But I'm most excited to see new faces and guys in new roles in general.
Yeah. In terms of excitement, I'm excited to see this defensive line work. I'm really excited to see the defensive line work. This is a defense that's going to work favorably for defensive linemen. Like, a three-man front works better for linebackers because there's less responsibilities for them given there's more players. It doesn't really work for a place like Texas where linebacker pipeline isn't that strong, but your defensive line pipeline is really strong. So having those guys have less and be able to do more is going to be interesting to see and exciting to watch.
For sure. I agree with that.
The next question is sort of in the same general area. Leet Hot Sauce asks, what position group realistically has the greatest chance of tanking the season by not playing up to expectation?
Which position group could sink the team by not playing up to expectations? I would say your wide receivers.
I would have to agree. If the wide receiver what's the expectation for wide receivers? I guess I'm going to look at it as like if they play up to like an average or above average level, that's where my expectation is for this group. It's not what it was. What was it 3 years ago?
But how do you gauge that? How do you gauge what type of level they're playing at?
How many drops they have?
Mm-hmm.
How many, how poor their routes are? How many interceptions are not on Sam?
This is what I'm gonna say. The wide receiver position is gonna be a failure this season. It will bring the team down if there's not one guy that emerges as the guy.
Yeah, and you saw it last year.
You saw it in the year before that. The year before that was Lil Jordan Humphrey. He was the guy. He was the guy. He was the guy. This past year, it was Devin Duvernay. But even with Duvernay out there, when Texas didn't have Colin Johnson, they were a whole different team.
Exactly.
And guess what? Now we don't have Colin Johnson and we don't have Duvernay. Who is the guy? So if Sam Ehlinger doesn't find a go-to guy this season, that absolutely could derail a lot of things. So I think it's the wide receivers because the expectations, I don't know, are necessarily that high for the offensive line in the first place. So, but there are expectations for some of these receivers and these names.
I would say safety as well. In a league where probably the first team to 40 wins, you can't get beat deep a ton. If you can't rely on what should be an elite safety group, then you might have some trouble.
I can see it. I can see it. I mean, it's the Big 12. I don't know how high, back to the question, how high are the expectations for the safeties?
Chris Brown has super high expectations. So does Caden Stearns.
So check this out, though. Every defensive backfield, though, they're always going to look better if they've got what?
Pass rush.
So if Texas's defensive line doesn't live up to what we think it will be, if nobody can emerge as a guy that can consistently get after the quarterback outside of Joseph Osai, hell, that's going to mess everything up because we saw Texas this past year when those DBs were left on the island for too long. You see what I'm saying? So my answer to that would be the defensive line.
That's a good point. Yeah, if the defensive line cannot get a pass rush like they couldn't do it last year, your defensive backfield is going to be hung up to dry.
Yep. The one thing you think you can hang your hat on is the defensive line. If they don't perform, if they struggle, then hell, all the rest of it, then it's going.
I changed my answer to defensive
line. Mission accomplished.
Yeah, you're right.
Yes.
You're
yes.
right.
I'll take it. Hey, I don't think I ever answered that very first question. The guy was talking about on both sides of the ball. What's the second string guy I think could take over? Give me Devondre Sweat.
Oh, both sides of the ball, yeah.
Give me Devondre Sweat eventually starting opposite Keandre Coburn at that defensive tackle spot. He's going to be he's going to be a big-ass three technique while Coburn plays the one.
oh, I see. You're talking defensive tackle.
Yeah,
nose tackle and the defensive
tackle.
Coburn
right next to each other.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I can totally. So you're saying he takes over Taquan Graham's spot?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And then I could even see scenarios where Alfred Collins gets bumped outside because, Alfred can move. He can get off.
Yeah, he's a guy who has the want to as well.
I'm buying stock in Devondre Sweat. He's another guy. I know I said Juwan Mitchell could possibly play in the NFL. When I say he could play in the NFL, I mean as a special teams guy, not as a starter for somebody. I think Devondre Sweat will look up in 5 or 6 years And he's going to still be playing in the NFL on somebody's defensive line if he stays healthy. That's a monster. He doesn't get anywhere near the love or fanfare that I think he will later on in his career.
Yeah. I think another guy I'll be interested to watch is Jalen Ford, being a true freshman, not being able to have that spring semester. Mm-hmm. And the Will linebacker, which is a question mark with DeMarvin Overshown. If DeMarvin Overshown can't figure it out, hopefully he does. Hopefully he figures it out and he's amazing. But Jalen Ford is a guy who I might watch and say he might not be the second string. He might be a third stringer who moves up just because. So. Yeah, that or Kenyatta Watson, one of those two guys.
I think if I'm hearing Jalen Ford's name or if I'm seeing 41 on the screen on kickoffs and punts and stuff, if I'm seeing him often on special teams, I think that'll be a sign on what's to come on him as far as defensively moving forward. That's usually a pretty good indicator, Will, because it's all about want to. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's all about want to, and there's traffic. There's guys trying to knock your head off. You don't know. There's bullets flying everywhere. So special teams tell you a lot about a guy. For the record, I hated special teams. I hate kick return and having to be up back and stuff like that. So special teams tell you a lot about somebody.
Well, speaking of special teams, the next question comes from AM Slang on Reddit. He asks, what areas of improvement on special teams do you expect this year? And that's an interesting question because Tom Herman said that special teams is going to be a place that you see a lot of these freshmen playing because you don't have to worry about burning red shirts. You're going to be seeing a lot of these guys who wouldn't be on the field because, you know, you're worrying about which four games are we going to play them in and have we already played them for four games or whatnot. You're going to be seeing these guys in live action. And I think that is going to improve for both teams, every team, the kick return, kick off coverage, punt return, punt coverage, because you're not worrying about, you know, who you can play out there. You're just saying, hey, play the guy.
I believe Coleman Hustler took over special teams duties, right?
I think
Texas
so, yeah.
cannot get any worse than they were as a punt return unit this past season. Can't get any worse than they were as a kick return unit.
And it's nice to see some common sense putting DeSean Jameson back there because that is the guy who can make things happen on punt return. I mean, he did.
Yeah. At this point, I don't know how I feel about having, you know, you're starting one of your starting corners back there returning kicks. But special teams, the return game has to improve. I absolutely feel like just from – if you go off just the math of average starting field position and – punts that weren't fielded and where that ended up, things like that. Special teams cost Texas a game last season. It did. And it cost them a game the season before that as well.
Well, are you talking about Iowa State?
I don't even remember it off the top of my head. I think it was two games at first. Wasn't it Oklahoma State and Iowa State or something like that? But, I mean, I'm sure Buchevsky is going to take the next step as a punter. I don't really have any real big concerns about Australian punters. I'm going to be honest with you. What's my man? Dicker the kicker. You know, pretty confident in him.
Have you seen his mullet?
No, I ain't.
See, Quinn Ewers' mullet on all of his pictures is just from the state championship, and that's just like Southlake Carroll's thing during the playoffs. Cameron Dicker has a better mullet than Quinn Ewers does. Did. It's awesome.
I got to be honest. I had no clue, and you know why? Because he's a kicker. Like Tom Herman said, he's a kicker.
Dude, I don't care. That dude is amazing. I love Cameron Dicker.
Okay, well, I need Dicker to make some game-winning field goals this year. Besides just Oklahoma. Actually,
you don't care who your kicker is until he's out there winning you the game against Oklahoma.
Yeah, but hey, I promise this too. I bet you if he misses a game-winning kick, I bet you he'll cut that mullet off. He won't want to be recognized, will he?
True.
But no, I think special teams with Buchevsky getting back healthy, that's great. Dicker, you would assume, is only going to get better. You know, those guys, literally, that's their job. That's all they work on all day, every day. But the return game has to improve. And, hey, Will, what was the last time Texas blocked a punt or blocked a kick?
USC?
Was that last year?
That was 2 years ago.
2 years ago? Damn, it's been – come on, bring it back. Back when Texas was running things in the 2000s, I believe they led the country. It was them and Virginia Tech with Beamer Ball. You remember that? It was special teams. Michael Griffin blocking kicks, guys blocking punts, running it back. All three facets of the game matter, man. And if you're a person on a team like Texas who on paper is supposed to be better than everybody this year in your conference, that third phase of the game will be the difference right there and end up costing being the difference between a Big 12 championship and going back to the Alamo Bowl. It has to improve. It has to.
Okay. Actually, you know, we have three more questions to come in here before we end off here. So let's end it off with one more football question here. Oh, we have another. We have another football question after this. But what do you think are some of the biggest trap games this year? And that's from just some dude in Texas.
I would say number one, your biggest trap game off top would be Texas Tech, because you're gonna get, sure, you'll get a taste a little bit the week playing UTEP, but then you're off for a whole week, and then you're heading into Lubbock. I don't know what the fan situation is gonna be, but I mean, you're traveling. It's gonna be a little bit dull. It's not gonna be a full stadium regardless. Texas Tech hates your guts. They've had all offseason to prepare for you. You know, things can get crazy in Lubbock, especially if it's a night game. It's just, you know, weird stuff seems to happen with Texas going up to Stillwater and going to Lubbock. So, and Matt Wells is a good coach. I mean, what year is this for him now? Three?
Two.
I know, a year two. I know Texas has dominated Tech over the last decade or so, but at some point you have to think they're due as well. So I've got my antennas up for Texas Tech.
So when I'm thinking trap games, I'm thinking games that I'm not expecting Texas to lose, and then they, you know, you come up to it and that's the game they lose. So I'm not going to include Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, and Iowa State games. Trap games are more games that Texas should win, but they could lose. I don't think Texas should win. They should win, but like, I don't think they are for sure going to win Oklahoma State or Iowa State. That's going to be three hard fought battles.
Okay.
I would say Kansas State. Kansas State is another, you're at Kansas State.
It's in Manhattan.
It's in Manhattan.
Hmm, okay.
So that is a game where coaching staff is in its second year, but they're going to be at the end of the year working with a bunch of guys who, you know, aren't looking for the glamour and glitz, and that's what they've worked with the majority of the time at North Dakota State. I think Kansas State is your trap game, a game where probably isn't their year, but they're going to be looking to make a statement at the end of the year. It's going to be like a let's spoil somebody's season type thing.
Well, you know, anytime you're suiting up against Kansas State, as unflashy and as they are, you know, every single time, well, you know, it's going to be a fight. Okay. There's nothing you can do that's going to, no matter, you can come smack that team, hop out 14-0, you know, and then turn right around and get a turnover on them. And they're still going to keep coming no matter what, no matter what. And like we mentioned at the beginning of the show, who knows who the hell is available at that point in the season, you know, for either team. So going up to Manhattan and with the question mark of who's available, I feel you on that. I mean, but Kansas State is always a trap game, you know? I never feel comfortable with Texas playing against Kansas State because you never know what you're going to get.
The Purple Wizard is gone, but the magic is still there.
Yeah, and you know it's going to be an ugly-ass game anytime Kansas State is playing. That's what they want. That's what they like. That's how they're comfortable. That's what they're comfortable doing. But no, I can say that 100%, Will. Kansas State's a good one. Texas Tech. We know that Oklahoma and Iowa State are the three. That's probably your top. With Texas, those are your top four teams in the conference. And then you wild cards, always Baylor, always Kansas State, always TCU. I know the Big 12 doesn't get any respect nationally because people don't understand football. And Big 12 has been ahead of everyone for the past 15 years offensively with offensive minds in the conference. People say this conference is weak, Will. And I just, when people say that, it tells me they just don't really understand what they're talking about.
I completely agree.
And that goes for Texas fans, too.
It's going to be a tough year. It's going to be a very tough year.
Mm-hmm.
So, Darius, my second to last question here is from A. Wino. And he asks, you know, having with the experience you have, we'll be able to answer this question very well. Why does OU suck so bad? And at what time of day do they suck the most?
OU sucks so bad because...
I kind of actually want a real answer here, like... Playing Oklahoma, what? Why did you hate Oklahoma? Why did you hate their fans?
I don't really hate Oklahoma, man. I never really hated Oklahoma. I hate A&M. I can tell you, I hate A&M. I've never really hated Oklahoma. I've never liked them. You know, at no point in my life have I ever rooted for them. Oklahoma sucks because, one, there's nothing to do in Oklahoma. All they have to look forward to is Oklahoma football. So when in your state, all you have to look forward to is a sport from a school that most of you didn't even attend. I have to say that place probably sucks pretty bad. It's not a whole lot to do. When everything, all of your resources have been put into having a good football program, when your identity as a state is your college football program, you know, I just sometimes I wonder where, you know, where are your real priorities at, in my opinion? And what time of the day does Oklahoma suck the most?
I mean, it is 9 p.m.
Oklahoma sucks the most. What time did the LSU game start last year?
7 p.m.
About 7, 7:15, 7:30. They probably suck the most somewhere between 7 and 7:30 every evening.
See, for me, I think it's more around 11 a.m.
Well, no, they seem to play all right around 11. You know, you got to have them on national television in a college football playoff game. You know what I'm saying? About 7:30 p.m. And then, you know, those true colors come out. They get a little nervous.
So the last question of the day, and it's J. Crow popped in right as we started, and I didn't see it. So his last question, and Darius, a little bit of background for you. On our basketball podcast, mm-hmm. for Pretend We're Football, we always do this thing at the end of the show, and it's called Pretend You're Getting to Know Us, where we ask a random question, and we have to answer it. It has nothing to do with basketball or any sports. This one, it's J. Crow, asked us three, and I'll let you answer one of them, and give me your best story here. Describe a time you accidentally mortified your parents as a child. What movie title best describes your last relationship? And what's the weirdest way you've earned money? And how much did you get?
All right, so what's the first question? What's the time I mortified my parents? Hell, you mean like in public or, you know what I'm saying? Like in general?
Answer the question, man. One of the three.
Pick one. I mortified my parents.
I do like that question. I think that's a good one.
A time I've mortified my parents? Like they've been scared of something I did?
No. Like you like embarrass them or like.
Even
like
then, a time I've like, embarrassed them? Like
anything on the field?
On the field? Nah. I mean, hell, what was it? Eighth grade, I got kicked out my last game. I know my dad was pretty pissed about that. How am I mortified my parents, man? That's gonna suck. I really can't think. I try to stay out of the way for the most part, man. All I did was play sports and do my work. I can't think of a time where I just.
Nothing where you were a little child in the grocery store?
No, maybe one time. I remember one time as a kid, folks sitting around talking, and you know, you're talking about, you know, hey, these flies out here are, you know, going crazy. I remember one time I was like, well, we have flies in my house. I was a kid and didn't know any, but I remember my mom being pretty upset about that. You know, hey, y'all telling folks we got flies at home and stuff like a pet fly type deal, like the house dirty or something. But, man, other than that, I can't really think of a time. I really can't.
Kids said the darndest things. I think I have one for the mortified parents one. So I'm the oldest child of my family. I don't, you know, as the oldest child, usually you're the more naive one, honestly, because you don't have your older brother to kind of like pass down knowledge to you. So I was in the car with my parents and another parents and three friends back in middle school. And this is around the time Dane Cook was really popular. Do you remember Dane Cook?
I'm not familiar with him.
The comedian?
Uh-uh.
If you heard him, you would probably recognize who he was. He had flashed really popular because he was first of those kind of edgy comics.
Mm.
And he was talking about this one thing where when you're in a movie theater and you have to get out, like you kind of scoot by people, and he said it's like it's so awkward and you feel like somebody's gonna stick a dildo up your ass.
What the hell?
Yeah, edgy comic, like I said. I can't tell the story very well, but I didn't know what a dildo was. So, and I thought it was funny. Yeah, I just assumed it was like a banana or something. I don't know, like which I was kind of right on, honestly. And so I tell that joke in the car with my parents, another group of parents, and my three friends. As soon as I say the word dildo, my two friends look over me, both have older siblings, are like, do you know what you just said in front of the parents? And I was like, no, not really. And my mother's face was beet red, and my father was about to beat the crap out of me. And that's the time I mortified my parents. I didn't know what a dildo was, and I told a joke about it in a car full of people.
Hey, that's how it goes sometimes, man. But hey, you got it explained to you, right?
I was an idiot. That was so stupid of me. But I always look back at it, I'm like, yeah, I was an idiot. That was a dumb thing I've done in middle school.
Man, I'm sure I've done some stuff. I just honestly do not remember.
All right, then what's the weirdest way you've ever earned money?
The weirdest way
besides getting recruited.
Texas didn't pay me a damn thing. I need to go back and do that over again. Told him to kick rocks. I've been walking before. It was in college. I don't remember who I was with or what the hell, what we were doing. But I had somebody stop me one time. I was like there was literally like, hey, could you take a picture? Like they stopped us and asked, you know how folks stop you to ask you to take a picture for them?
Yeah.
So Will, I sit here and
no,
take,
I mean, no, but I mean, I can assume.
You never had anybody say, can you take our picture?
Oh, can you take a picture of us? I didn't mean like with us.
No, of them.
I was like, no, nobody's really stopped me in the middle of the street and asked me to take a picture with them. But I'll assume it's okay.
No, so after I took their pictures or everything, I'm guessing they liked it or whatever. The person pulls out a $20 bill and like says, thank you. I'm like, no, it's okay. I don't, you know, hey, think about it. Go back. I'm in college. So like, I kind of like really, I'm like, hell yeah, give me the $20. But I'm like, no, it's okay. You know, it's all good. I'm just, you know, just my experience, whatever. They basically, so I wouldn't take it in my hand. They just put it in my pocket, man. So I just kept walking. So. The weirdest thing
that's
I've ever done.
That's kind of an
done.
Intimate way to give you money is just put the money in your pocket.
Yeah, in my,
so weirdly
in my
intimate. It's like, I'm gonna act like that didn't happen.
Yeah, so I got paid to take a picture for somebody before just walking down the street. So that's probably.
I will
the
say
oddest.
there is one time I have been stopped and asked to take a picture with somebody, and that was in India. That was like in like rural India.
Are you the
not
American?
Not a lot of white people there.
You're the American.
And I was the American. And apparently it's a thing where like Indian people take pictures, like from India, take pictures with girls and white people. And because of Hollywood, it's like if you've seen with like the perception, and I could be completely wrong here, but I was told the perception is that because you're taking a picture with a white person and all of Hollywood makes white people look fun, that if you put that on your social media, that means like you were like having fun like in Hollywood or something like that. And I got stopped and was like, hey, can we take a picture with you?
That makes plenty of sense to me. I mean, have you ever? So I got exposed to, I would say probably my first time realizing this. So I played AAU basketball growing up, whatever. So I'm probably 10 years old, 11 years old. You know, after the game, you know, I'm like, folks like, hey, y'all want to go eat somewhere or whatever? And like, I mean, I had teammates that, you know, they never sat down at a restaurant before, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And you don't even realize, you know, like little things you would be surprised that we do every day or whatever. It's little stuff that we take for granted. And you realize some people are sitting there, you know, we wake up and complain about stuff and, you know, this ain't right, that ain't right. You got folks that are dreaming to be in your position. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I believe it 100% because I mean, what do they really know? You know, all you see is what's been
in movies or TV
just
shows.
Like, yeah, everything that's been glorified, you know, on TV. And if you've never, until you've experienced it yourself, you don't know any better. You know, you're told this is awesome or whatever. And yeah, I mean, I get it. So, no, I believe that 100%. That doesn't surprise me that much, honestly.
It was interesting. It was a little awkward. And I that misunderstanding made me remember that story. But, yeah, I think that's going to do it for us, though. That has been 4th and 5, your Longhorn Nation podcast, and I've been your host, Will Baizer. You guys can find me on Twitter at WILLBAIZER. My man DT, where can we find you?
Hey, y'all can find me in the same place, DTERRELL05. Love to hear from you. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, your Mavs are out, but your Stars are still in.
Hey, Mavs are out, but hey, we got 15 more years of triple Doncic, so it's gonna be okay. Giannis coming next summer.
And you guys can find us and our other stuff, our other content on thefootballbrainiacs.com. That is texas.thefootballbrainiacs.com. You guys can all find our other shows here for this podcast on the Hornscast channel. It's the Hornscast channel on Podbean, Spotify, Google Play, anywhere you guys can find podcasts, iTunes. You'll find the Hornscast. Thank y'all for listening, and we will see y'all next week. Hook 'em.